In the opening verses in Galatians 3, the Apostle Paul points to the foolish behaviour of the people in the churches at Galatia. He refers to them as foolish Galatians in verse 1. And then he asks them in verse 3, "Are ye so foolish? Are ye so foolish?" Paul here was really expressing his utter amazement at the way these people had behaved and how they had turned from the truth. He wanted the people in Galatia to understand his own personal shock and astonishment at their unwise and ludicrous behavior. Paul even asks them in verse 1, "Who hath bewitched you?" Who hath bewitched you? Meaning, who has tricked you? Who has deceived you? Who has conned you into turning from the truth of God? Into turning from the gospel of Jesus Christ? Turning from the vital truth of salvation in Christ alone? To turn from the truth of God, to turn away from Christ and his salvation, is the most foolish, nonsensical, and dangerous thing that anyone could ever do. It is to throw yourself out of the lifeboat of salvation, which God has graciously provided, into the sea of damnation, and into the sea of destruction. And this is what it is to turn from Christ's gospel. It is to throw yourself out of the lifeboat of salvation, to ruin and damnation, and to eternal condemnation. And this is why Paul, in these opening words in Galatians 3, expresses his great amazement at what was happening in the churches in Galatia. He wanted them to know and understand how crazy and how idiotic their behavior was. However, after Paul, in the first five verses in Galatians 3, points out the foolishness of the Galatians, he then goes on in the following verses to teach them once again the truth about salvation. The people in Galatia needed to be rebuked for their foolishness. They needed to be warned about the danger they were heading into. But ultimately, they needed to hear the truth. If they were going to turn from that which was false, they needed the light of truth to shine into their hearts and minds once again. They needed to be reminded of the true gospel. And how this true gospel, how the gospel that saves is theirs and can be theirs. Well, this is what Paul now does in verses 6 to 14 here in Galatians 3. He brings before them the all-important truth of how men and women can obtain and have God's eternal salvation. And this is what he's reminding them of in these verses. How they can actually know God's salvation. How God's salvation can be theirs. How they can have eternal hope in God's salvation. As we've noted before, the foolish error many in the churches in Galatia had fallen into was the falsehood that works are necessary for salvation. And this was the falsehood they had fallen into. Works were necessary for salvation. To be saved and be accepted by God, it was necessary for men and women to do certain works and merit for themselves favor with God. False teachers in Galatia were preaching salvation was through Christ. But it wasn't Christ alone. It was Christ plus the religious works and deeds of men. And this is what these false teachers were preaching. This is what they were teaching the people. Oh yes, you need Christ for salvation, but that ain't enough. You have to add to this your own works, your own deeds, your own religious practices and ceremonies. And this is how they were leading these people astray. But the Apostle Paul now sets before the Galatians the great truth of how salvation is through faith and faith in Christ alone. This is the only way anyone can ever enter into and know God's eternal salvation. Not through any work that we can do, but through faith and faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is what Paul reminds them of. Of course, the false doctrine of salvation through man's works, which had infiltrated the Galatian church, is still very much alive and kicking today. It's still very much with us in our world. In fact, this is one of Satan's most deadliest weapons as he seeks to destroy and damn the souls of men and women. The vast majority of people in our world believe in salvation, some form of salvation, through their own works and deeds. You go to the vast majority of people and you say to them, well, are you prepared to die? Or are you ready to stand before God in the judgment? Or do you think you'll go to heaven? Or something along this line. You ask them this, and you know what they will say to you? Well, I try my best. I know I'm not perfect.
Or they will speak about something they have done, some practice of their lives. They will speak about their own good works or their own deeds. And you see, this is what the vast majority of people are focused upon. They believe in a salvation through works. Every false religion holds to some form of salvation through works. They proclaim man must perform these deeds. He must engage in this activity if he is to have any chance of salvation. And it doesn't matter what false religion you look at. It all boils down to this, a salvation by works. The Roman Catholic Church, it's salvation by works. Islam, it's salvation through works. Buddhism, Hinduism, all of these false religions of men, the religions of this world, they have all this one thing in common. Man, to have salvation, must follow their practices. He must engage in their ceremonies, in their deeds. And then they will have salvation. This world is filled with many different forms of salvation through works. Yet as Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia, he declared to them the great truth, the all-important truth, that man can only ever obtain God's salvation, not through any work that he could do, but through faith. It's through faith. This is the only way you can be saved. This is the only way God's salvation can be yours. Through faith. And faith alone. This even then, as we consider that which Paul says here, the subject I want us to think on is why salvation is through faith. Why salvation is through faith. See, the apostle in this passage really sets forth a number of good arguments and irrefutable reasons why salvation for man is through faith alone in Christ alone. And this is what he does for these Galatians. He sets forth argument after argument of why God's salvation is through faith. These false teachers were saying, listen, Christ is not enough. Faith in Christ is not enough. And they had deceived the people. They had bewitched the people in this sense. But Paul now brings his arguments. And he sets forth argument after argument why salvation is through faith. Notice then with me in these verses a number of reasons why salvation is through faith and faith in Christ alone. In the first place, we can say salvation is through faith because this is what the scriptures teach us. This is what the scriptures teach us. Notice in this passage, as Paul speaks to the Galatians about salvation through faith, he keeps referring to the scriptures. He keeps referring to God's word. We see this in verse 11. Verse 11 tells us, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Note the final words in this verse. The just shall live by faith. Paul here is actually quoting from the Old Testament, from Habakkuk 2 verse 4, where we read, but the just shall live by his faith. Paul then is arguing from the basis of scripture here. He's saying to the Galatians, salvation is through faith, because this is what the scriptures teach us. This is what it says in Habakkuk 2 in the verse 4. This is the simple message of God's word. The just shall live by faith. And he's reminding these people, this is what God's word says. Remember at that time, these people didn't have the New Testament scriptures. And so Paul here was teaching from the Old Testament. And he's showing them here that the message of the Old Testament isn't salvation through works. It's salvation through faith. Because Habakkuk 2 and 4 tells us, the just shall live by faith. Then notice also what Paul says in verses 8 and 9. And the scriptures, and there again we have Paul referring to God's word, and this is referring to the Old Testament scriptures. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Again, the apostle here is appealing to scripture. And what he's really saying in these words is, God's word, scripture declares sinners are justified or saved through faith. And that's what God's word is saying. Therefore, all who believe in Christ, all who trust in him and him alone as their savior, receive the same blessings of salvation as Abraham enjoyed. And that's really what he's saying in these words. Or as verse 9 puts it, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham.
They that be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And so, again, Paul is appealing to Scripture here. And he's saying, Abraham was saved through faith. And so therefore, this is how we can be saved. This then is why we must hold to salvation through faith and faith alone. Because this is the message of the Bible. This is the clear and unmistakable teaching of Scripture. Only through faith in Christ can men and women be saved from their sin and have eternal life. Only through faith. This is the Word of God, the teaching of Scripture. As we examine God's Word, the truth that salvation is through faith is set forth in many, many different ways. And it's set forth in many different forms. We can say the pictures in Scripture teaches salvation is through faith. The great spiritual pictures. There are many, many wonderful spiritual pictures painted for us in God's Word. And they reveal to us the great truth that only through faith can we be saved. Think of the brazen serpent which Moses made in the wilderness. Remember that story of how the children of Israel had rebelled against God? And God sent fiery serpents amongst them, and these fiery serpents were biting the people of Israel, and they were dying. And Moses cried to God, and God said to Moses, make a brazen serpent, put it upon a pole, and hold it up, and when anyone is bitten, if they look to the brazen serpent, then they will be healed of the poisonous bite of the fiery serpents. And that's what Moses did. He made this brazen serpent, he put it upon a pole, and he told the people, listen, if you're bitten, look to the brazen serpent, and you will be delivered from dying from that poisonous bite. But what a picture. That's a wonderful picture painted for us of how we need to look to Christ by faith. Indeed, in John 3, this is exactly what Christ said. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a wonderful biblical picture. And what's it teaching us? Salvation is through faith in Christ. And so the pictures in Scripture teach us salvation is through faith. We can also say the precepts of Scripture teach us salvation is through faith. In Mark 1, or in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, we read, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And here we have Christ commencing his public ministry. And as he comes to preach, what does he preach? Repent ye and believe the gospel. This was the command he gave to men. The command of the Savior. Believe the gospel. Believe in me. And so, the precepts of Scripture teach us salvation through faith. As well as the pictures. What about the promises of Scripture? They also teach us salvation is through faith. Think of the words of Acts 16 verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's God's promise. That's the promise of God's word to sinful man. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. You shall have eternal life. That's the promise of Scripture. And then we can also say the preaching of Scripture teaches us salvation is through faith. The preaching, the doctrines, the great passages in Scripture which set forth the truth. They teach us salvation is through faith. Think of the words of Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here we have the preaching of Scripture. Here we have the doctrine of Scripture set forth in a systematic form. And what does it tell us? It tells us the same as the pictures. It tells us the same as the precepts and the promises. It is setting forth the great truth. Only through faith in Christ can we be saved. The clear and unmistakable message of the Bible to men is believe. It's believe. Indeed, every time we open up the Word of God, this is what the Lord is saying to us. He is proclaiming to all men and all women, look unto me and be saved all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. And as he says, look unto me, he's commanding faith. He's saying, believe in me and you shall be saved and you shall be delivered. And so this is the message of the Bible. This is the message of Scripture. Faith. Believe in Christ. Not to believe in Christ as your Savior, not to trust in him for salvation, is then to reject completely reject the clear message of Scripture. It is to close your eyes to the light of truth and to refuse to hear that which God says. And that's what the unbeliever does. Oh, understand this tonight. The unbeliever is rejecting God's word. It is saying, the unbeliever is saying, I cannot believe God. I can't accept what he says. I refuse all that he speaks to me of in Scripture. I can't have that. And in fact, the unbeliever is saying God cannot be trusted. He is a liar. And that is how serious it is. That is how serious it is to continue in your unbelief. It is to reject the message of the word of God. In fact, the Lord Jesus describes all who do so as fools. Listen to what he said of such people in Matthew 7, verses 26 and 27. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine doeth them not. And the person who does them not doesn't believe. Shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Remember what Christ is teaching here? How men respond to his word. And those that will not do his word, those that will not believe his word, those that will not obey it. Christ says they're fools. They're like the foolish man. And great will be their destruction. Salvation then is through faith. Because this is what Scripture teaches us. This is what Scripture teaches us. Therefore, don't be a fool. Heed the word of God and look to Christ by faith that you might be saved. Salvation is through faith because this is what Scripture teaches us. But then notice with me secondly here, salvation is through faith because this is what the saints teach us. This is what the saints teach us. Again, this is another powerful argument that Paul sets before the people in the church of Galatia. We read of this in verses 6 and 7. Notice again what it says there in those verses. Verses 6 and 7. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. See here in verse 6, we are told that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was accounted to him for righteousness. In other words, this was how Abraham was made righteous in God's sight. This is how he was saved and became a child of God. Not through his own good works or religious practices, but through faith. He believed God. And he was counted righteous in God's sight. He was counted righteous. He was counted a saved man because he believed God. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. That is, everyone that believes as Abraham believed, they too are a part of God's family. Just like Abraham is in God's family. All who believe like Abraham, they too are saved. They are accounted righteous as Abraham was. You see, the great point that the apostle is bringing before these people in Galatia is this. The saints of God that lived before them, the saints of God that lived before them, right back to Abraham, and even before that, they entered into and received God's salvation by simple faith. This is how they were saved. Not by their own deeds or works, not by observing some religious ceremonies and practices, but they personally came to experience salvation as they believed God, as they looked to him by faith. This then was another irrefutable argument Paul was setting before the people in Galatia. Salvation is through faith and faith alone. And this is something which the saints in the Old Testament teach us. This is something that the saints in the Old Testament teach us. This is how God's people, from the very fall of man, have been saved. This is how they entered in and were converted. This is how they were accounted righteous, through faith. Therefore, this is the only way we too can be saved. The same way the Old Testament saints were saved, by faith in Christ. Just consider for a moment some of the different saints of God that lived at different periods in the history of this world. And yet every one of these people, despite their different backgrounds and circumstances, were saved through faith. Think of Abel. Abel lived at the very beginning of this world, the very beginning of time. His knowledge of God would have been very limited. Remember, Abel had no Bible. He had no preacher or prophet. He had no church to go to. No evangelist could come to him. How limited. How limited his knowledge of the truth would have been. His knowledge of God. But we read in Hebrews 11 verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. How was he converted? Despite his limited knowledge. Despite the fact he didn't have a Bible. Despite the fact there was no preacher to preach to him. How was he converted? How was he accounted righteous? By faith. He believed God. And he was saved. Of course, his brother Cain, he was the opposite. Cain did not believe. And he perished in his sin. He wouldn't believe God. He wouldn't believe in God's way of salvation. And that's why he wouldn't bring the sacrifice God demanded. He didn't believe that could save him. He brought his own works. And Cain perished. And so Abel, he was saved through faith. Then we could also think of Rahab the harlot. And Rahab the harlot lived some 2,000 or so years after Abel. She was a woman that lived in great darkness. She led a sinful and wicked life. She was a harlot, depraved life. Think of her life there in Jericho. That idolatrous people that were under God's judgment. Jericho was such a wicked place, it was under the condemnation of God. And harlot lived in the middle, or Rahab lived in the middle of this place. A harlot in a wicked and evil city. Yet when she heard of the Lord, and when she heard of the Lord's mighty power, she believed. She believed. And that's all that she did. She believed, and she was wonderfully saved and brought into God's kingdom. Hebrews 11:31 tells us, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. Faith again brought God's salvation into Rahab's life. All the rest in Jericho didn't believe, but she believed. And she was converted. Come on then, another 1500 years in history. We come to the cross where the Lord Jesus is dying. He is there hanging between two thieves. Two wicked men. But one of these men looks to Christ by faith and cries, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And of course, this was a cry of faith. He looked to Christ and he seen in him a savior. He seen in him one who could deliver him. And he cries in faith, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And as this man cried out in faith, Christ said to him, verily, I say unto thee today, shall thou be with me in paradise. Again, it was faith that brought this man into the kingdom of God. Faith. The simple truth is, there is no other way into God's heaven but through faith in Christ. Every saint that we read of in Scripture, no matter their sin or situation, and no matter the time in history they lived, obtained salvation in this way. By faith in Christ. Therefore, this too is the only way anyone can be saved. This is the only way we can be saved. We must come to God like Abel did. Like Noah did. Like Abraham did. Like Moses did. Like David did. Like Paul did. We must look to Christ by faith. And if we do so, like the saints of old, we too shall be saved. Salvation is through faith, because this is what the Scriptures teach us. And salvation is through faith, because this is what the saints teach us. The saints that have gone before. But then thirdly, notice with me here, salvation is through faith, because this is what sin teaches us. This is what sin teaches us. Notice now the words of verses 10 to 12 here in Galatians 3. Paul says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. The false teachers in Galatia were preaching salvation through works. Men needed to keep the law to earn acceptance with God and the right to heaven. These men that were preaching another gospel were focused upon the law. They were focused upon the law and how through the law there is found salvation. And that's what they were emphasizing. They were saying, you must obey the law. You must do what the law requires. You need to follow the law. And this is what they were focusing upon. They were teaching the people, this is necessary for salvation. But Paul shows here in verse 10 the utter foolishness of this teaching. He says, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, what Paul was saying to the Galatians here is, because you cannot keep the law, because you cannot keep the law, you're a sinner. And because you're a sinner, the law does not bring blessing and salvation into your life. It brings the curse and condemnation of a holy God upon your head. And this is what he's saying here. Well, yes, you're focused upon the law. You're focused upon obeying the law. But you can't do it. Therefore, what's the law doing? It's bringing the curse upon you. It's bringing the condemnation of God upon you. This then is why we read in verse 11, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. No man. No man can ever be saved by their own efforts, by trying to obey the law. For when we hold our lives up against the holy standard of God's law, it reveals to us not our goodness, not our righteousness, but the law reveals to us our wickedness. It reveals to us our sin. It reveals to us we're under the curse and we deserve condemnation. The law of God shows us we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Salvation then cannot be through the law. It cannot be through man's own works, for man's very best is but filthy rags, as Isaiah 64 verse 6 tells us. You see, as we come to understand something of the sinful condition in which we by nature are found, as we come to understand something of our own sin, then we will also understand meriting our own salvation through our own works is simply not possible. This is something we as sinners are incapable of doing. Because we're sinners, because we're broken, powerless and weak, we cannot merit our own salvation. Instead, we must look outside of self for salvation. We must seek salvation in another. And this is where faith comes in, you see. Our sin reveals to us our undoneness, our brokenness, our helplessness. And as we come to experience this, as we come to feel this, what do? We stop looking at self and we look outside of self. And as we do so, we look by faith to Christ. That's why our sin teaches us, or how our sin teaches us, that salvation is only through faith. Because as we see something of our sin, the blackness and darkness and hopelessness of our sin, we realize there is no way of salvation here. There's no possibility of salvation in me. It must be outside of me. And that will bring us by faith to look to Christ. Once we realize something of our own true sinful state, we will look away from self. And we will look by faith to the Savior. This is a truth that is powerfully brought before us in Luke 18. As Christ spoke of the Pharisee and the publican in the temple. Turn with me for a moment to Luke 18. Notice this very familiar portion in God's word again. Notice what it says here in Luke 18. And the verses 9 to 14 here in this chapter. Luke 18. And in the verse 9 we are given the reason why the Lord Jesus spoke this parable. It says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now notice why the Christ spoke this parable. Here were people and they were trusting in themselves. They thought they were good enough. They were trusting in themselves. They weren't looking by faith to Christ. They were trusting in themselves. Then it says in verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You see here how the Pharisee did not understand the truth about his own sinful state. The Pharisee comes to the temple, and he thanked God he wasn't like other men. And he told the Lord how good he was, how he tithed, and how he obeyed the law, and how he wasn't an extortioner and an adulterer. He wasn't like this publican. He didn't understand the truth about his own sinful state. And what was the result of this? He then never looked in faith to God for salvation. He never looked in faith to the Lord. And he wasn't justified. He wasn't saved. Because he didn't understand his own sinful condition. He thought he was good enough. He thought he was a righteous man. And his own ignorance led to him not looking to Christ in faith. And this is what happened here. And how many are just like this man? They think they're good enough. They think their lives are good enough. Their conduct's good enough. And because they think they're good enough, they have no need of Christ. And so they don't need to look to him by faith. Many are found in this position. But the publican, how different he was. He was so aware of his own sinful condition. He was so aware of his unrighteous state. He felt something of his own unworthiness. And the truth of his own sin, what did it do? It moved him to look to God in faith for salvation. That's what happened that day. He smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That was a cry of faith. He was seeking salvation. And who was he seeking? The Lord by faith. His sin brought him to this place where he cried out in faith to the Lord. And of course, we read those words in verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Which means he went down to his house a saved man, declared righteous in God's sight. Our sin, the fact that before God's law we are condemned, points us to the truth we cannot work our own salvation. Hopeless and helpless in our sin. We must then look by faith to another. If we are to be saved, if we are to have eternal life, we must look outside of self. And as we do so, there's only one place we will find salvation. And that is in Christ. And so salvation is through faith because this is what the scriptures teach us. Salvation is through faith because this is what the saints teach us. And salvation is through faith because this is what sin teaches us. But fourthly and finally, notice here, salvation is through faith because this is what the sacrifice teaches us. That is, this is what Christ's sacrifice teaches us. See now, verses 13 and 14 here in Galatians 3. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We're told here in verse 13 that Christ has redeemed his people from the curse of the law. And he's done this by taking that curse upon himself as he died on the tree. And of course, this is what happened at the cross. This is why Christ died at the cross. He came into this world and he went all the way to the cross to pay the great debt of sin. The curse that was hanging over our heads because we were sinners, because we were lawbreakers, because we were guilty in God's sight, that curse fell upon Christ. He, the Holy One, became the sin offering. And there he died upon the tree. The just dying for the unjust. And so Christ has delivered us from the curse by being made a curse for us. Yet the great question is, how can that which Christ did for sinners at the cross be counted as ours? How can we as sinners reap and obtain the benefits and blessings
of Christ's death upon the tree? How can his atoning death be accounted as ours? How can it benefit us? Well, verse 14 gives us the answer. And this is what Paul is saying in verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham. Now, the blessing of Abraham simply means salvation. It simply means salvation. The blessing of Abraham, or salvation, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so Paul is saying to the Galatians, the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ and his dying work can be ours through faith. And this is what he's really emphasizing in this verse. Notice the last two words here, it's through faith. Verse 14 is really speaking about all the work of salvation. The blessing of Abraham is speaking about salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. And there's the promise of the Spirit. That's the promise of new life in the soul. New life in the soul. Salvation in Jesus Christ. How can this be ours? How can Christ's work on the cross be ours? The last two words tell us, through faith. That's it. It's through faith. By looking to Christ by faith. By crying to him by faith. Just like the penitent thief did. Christ's atoning death. The benefits of that flow to us. And we are forgiven and have eternal life. We then can say most emphatically, salvation is through faith, because this is what the sacrifice, Christ's sacrifice, teaches us. The Lord Jesus has died on the cross to take the punishment for sin. He has purchased a full salvation through the shedding of his own blood. This is what he has done. But if that great and all-sufficient work is to benefit us, then we must cry to Christ by faith that he will save us. Oh, the work is complete. It's a finished work. Christ cried, it is finished. Full salvation is provided. But if that work is to be ours, count it as ours, if it's to benefit us, if it's to save us, then we must cry to Christ in faith. The Savior himself declares in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth, that's who shall not perish. That's who shall have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth shall have salvation. Oh, how important faith in Christ is. How vitally important. Salvation is not a knowing the truth. Salvation is not a knowing about Christ. Oh, that you would understand that tonight. We need to grasp this. Salvation is not a knowing these details. It's not an knowing these facts and being familiar with these facts. Salvation is through faith. It's believing. It's receiving. It's in crying to Christ, looking to him, that we shall be saved from everlasting destruction. Only those who believe in Christ will be saved. Only those who believe will be saved. And the warning is, all who do not believe, all who do not believe will perish. They will perish in their sin. And the word of God warns us of this. Revelation 21 and verse 8 tells us, but the fearful and unbelieving, how many really consider unbelief not as a serious thing? But listen to what Scripture says. But the fearful and unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Hell is the eternal home of the unbeliever. It's the eternal home of the unbeliever. Salvation is through faith. Faith alone and Christ alone. And so all who refuse to believe, all who refuse to look to Christ by faith, all who refuse to cry to him for salvation, they will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Paul, therefore, was setting these good arguments before the Galatians. They might have abandoned their efforts in trying to earn God's salvation through their works. And that they would simply, by faith,
look to Christ. And this is the way of salvation. Well, I trust tonight that if you have never looked to Christ by faith, if you have never, as a sinner, like the publican in the temple, cried, God, be merciful to me, that even this very night, that you will simply look to him by faith. And if you do, you will be saved. Because salvation is through faith in Christ alone. The just shall live by faith. I trust God will be pleased to bless his word to our hearts this evening for his own name's sake. Amen and amen.